Praise God. What a great weekend. I mean, Pastor Joel coming, it was just wonderful to be in the presence of God, and it was so good, wasn't it? I'm just going to go over a couple things here. As you know, I had a really good intro for 40 minutes. No, actually, it was an hour. So God's teaching me to be more precise. And so tonight, but the part that I really, that really was important, we're going to go through that. It's just practically general, practical guidelines for visible church for corporate prayer. So corporate prayer, again, is just gathering together. And just so you know, and if some of you aren't familiar with some of this stuff, you can come to prayer. And the more you come to prayer, the more you'll feel more comfortable with that, and you'll understand some of these things more. I mean, that's how I learned. So just recapping some things. Last week we talked about, you know, the importance of corporate prayer and how to be unified and persistent prayer and single-mindedness and how important that was. We laid a good foundation for scriptures, and we looked at Old Testament to New Testament, and some of those people that were, those different stories had different reasons for gathering. Some were in revival they wanted, some wanted for a crisis or critical situation, and so it was fun to look at that. And so tonight, lost my notes here. So tonight we're going to, if I want you to remember one thing from tonight, is like I really want you to remember the condition of your heart in corporate prayer is most important. The condition of your heart is most important. It's paramount, guys. And honestly, it's every time we come into this house. As I was preparing this and I was thinking about prayer, but honestly, it's when we come into this house. I mean, I have to empty myself when I'm driving in here, because sometimes, I mean, my family never acts up or isn't always that you have a conflict on the way to church and crazy and you're trying to get going, and it sometimes it just takes everything in you not to, you know, either yell at your children or scream at them or whatever it is. And it stirs something in you. And sometimes on the way to church, I mean, literally, I am driving in and I'm saying, okay, Lord, I empty myself of myself and all my flesh. Why do we do that? We have to empty ourselves so we know how to respond to each other and to know how to love others. Because if I'm moving so much in my flesh, I mean, and I've done, I'm like, okay, I have got to get alone really quick before I do anything. And that's okay. We have full freedom to do that. But it's really important when we come into this house. The cleaner, and that's what I'm really describing, the cleaner, the purer our hearts are, the more we welcome him and the more we're able to hear him. And that makes our prayer life more effective, right? So we have an open vessel that he is hearing God. And sometimes when we're coming to God and trying to get, you know, either right with him or just settling ourselves, then it connects us with him. Then we're right in step with him. Otherwise, you know, we're trying to do things and we're just not jiving. And then we're really wasting time, to be honest, in corporate time, prayer time. That's really valuable, right? So we want to make it more effective. I mean, I want prayer to be effective. I don't want to waste our own breath and waste God's time. I want to birth something that's supernatural and not just have a baby and like, oh, that wasn't anything, right? So why don't we just pray before I get started here? So Lord, we just bow our heads and we just praise you, God, for all that you're doing. I pray, God, that you would just show us those areas in our hearts, Lord God, that we just need to empty ourselves of ourselves sometimes, God. So we just tonight, right now, we just empty ourselves of ourselves, God. We just empty ourselves of distractions, of everything happened during the day, everything that's even going on when we go home and the rest of the week, God, because we want to fix our mind on you, God. We want to only think about you. We want to know how to be closer with you. We want to hear you, God. And I just pray that you just give us us some fresh teaching, from some revelation, God, that we hadn't have. And I just pray that you just speak through me. And I prayed for every heart here. And I just pray that you bless each person tonight. In Jesus' name. So, like I said, these are just general guidelines for corporate prayer. So we'll get right into, on that second page, does everybody have notes or want notes? Or if you don't have notes, they're up here and you can come and grab some. Thanks, Ken. So on that third page where it says principles of corporate prayer, we're just going to go over these and kind of break them down pretty systematically. So the first one, it says, come prepared, praying about personal issues before coming to the prayer meeting. And so we kind of just went over to talk about that we know how to respond to people and in the way that Father would. Sometimes when we have a lot of things going on, it can filter through that pain, you know, and the different issues that are going on. Asking the Lord to lead you and the meeting in prayer. This is, as I was going through this is kind of stuff pre-prayer, before coming to the house of God. So pray about personal issues before you come into here. I mean, not just the corporate prayer meeting, but coming to this house, if you're serving or whatever you're doing. Ask the Lord to lead you in the meeting in prayer. That honestly is just surrendering your agenda. You know, whatever, which just means whatever you want to do, God, do it. You know, what we can think, well, this is what a meeting should be, look like, or a service should look like. It's not about you, right? It's about him moving in us. And whatever he wants to do, just saying that, he has the freedom to do it, right? I mean, his ways are definitely way better than mine. And a lot of ways in life I wouldn't have chosen, but it turned out really to be, you know, most profitable. Mark scriptures that the Lord brings to your mind. So, you know, I think we all, you know, when we first get saved and are just new to this Christian walk, you know, we start getting into the Word and that Holy Spirit. When you get born again, our spirit's reborn. Then that Holy Spirit can, you know, have things that jump out at us. So when we say something is highlighted to us, we can read a verse and it pops out to us. The other parts, maybe other verses don't really pop out. And sometimes that pops out for a reason. Somebody during the prayer time, God will be speaking and it'll just be highlighted during that time. Bring your Bible and notebook to corporate prayer meetings or when you're coming to church, bring your Bible. You know, God speaks through scripture. He speaks through people. He speaks through songs. He will speak through anything to get your attention. Circumstances, you know, whatever it may be. So bring your Bible. Sometimes some people, you know, whether they're prophesying or during a prayer meeting, God will just show them story, you know, a different historical accounts of the word or just different things. And we can relate it to what God's saying for our church or different situations. And it can really be brought out and or somebody will have the same thing. So those are all really great things to do, you know, before you come to church. To follow appointed leadership. Follow instructions. If you disagree, wait until later and discuss with leadership or pastor. This is funny. You know, this weekend, Pastor Joel was kind of talking about that a little bit, where he was saying, it's really hard to surrender to man if you're not surrendered to the Holy Spirit. Right? Mm-hmm. You know, and God has appointed people in leadership for a season, for a reason, right? And so God speaks through that leadership. And so if you, it's not wrong to disagree with, I mean, I don't want to agree with half the stuff Pastor Ben talks about. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, it's not wrong to say, hey, I don't agree with that. And I don't understand that. I've gone to Pastor Ben and say, hey, help me understand that. I don't understand what you're saying, and talk to us about it. And, you know, I can learn something from you. You can learn something from me, and it's a beautiful thing. But you always have freedom to come and just talk, and let's, you know, work through these things. And if you're new to the faith, these are all really new things. And sometimes we're not used to being in corporate prayer. And the more you come, the more you feel more comfortable. I know when I first started praying in groups, I think it was in Bible college, and my gosh, I remember being in a circle, and then I would be three people over. I'm like, oh my gosh, Jeff Pagel is three over, and now I gotta pray like him and how amazing he is. And I'm like, I remember sweaty hands, but the more you get comfortable with it, the more it just flows, you know, out of you, and it doesn't have to be perfect. It's like your heart again. Number three, most often these types of corporate times of prayer start off with some worship and lead into prayer and intercession. Flow with the meeting and the leader. Don't dominate, but participate. And this actually, where we talked about, remember I said that the one thing I want you to remember is to have a pure heart. At this point, if your heart's not pure, it will be revealed. Because if you're, and even in the point before, if you're not following, a leadership, you will be like, well, why is she doing that again? She's talking too much. I just want to pray and I don't feel like we should be doing that. Well, if those issues were already put down and saying, Lord, just have your way, you wouldn't have some of those things. Does that make sense? And the same thing with flowing with the meeting and the leader. If we're praying about sensitive issues or salvation or whatever God is moving in, move in that same vein, Don't talk something totally opposite until you feel, I'm getting ahead of myself. But don't dominate the prayer time, but participate and be concise, and precise. And when you're flowing with the meeting, you'll feel like the Lord wants you to pray about a certain thing. And then just stop in your head sometimes and say, what specifically is it? Let's pray for Green Bay. Well, that could be a lot of things, right? So let's specifically target, addictions. Let's specifically target kids with parents of addictions, So just take some time to ask God, well, what does that mean, God? As you're praying, under your breath or in your mind, if that makes sense. And then you can get a little bit more targeted in your prayers. Number four, when you are inspired by the Holy Spirit to lead out in prayer. And this is kind of leading into that same thing. Pray in the vein of the meeting that it's going in. Don't change the topic. So pray through, which means when sometimes you'll feel the meeting, let's say we're praying over, just that topic I talked about, drug addictions with parents or whatever. You'll feel like one person pray and then people will be praying in the spirit, and then you can just kind of feel that it's been prayed through. You just have that inner witness. And I know sometimes if you're not incorporated, well, what does that mean? Or how does that sound? You'll understand that flow when you come into that time. Because sometimes there's where people are praying and interceding and, you're having intercession and it's louder than normal. Then all of a sudden it quiets, and you can feel the Holy Spirit okay, we're supposed to wait on God. And we're just supposed to be quiet now. So you can kind of sense that flow. It kind of naturally happens. So praying through whatever God is showing you in that prayer meeting. Avoid extra wordiness. If you take the time, if you feel God leading you out in a certain topic or what he's burdening you with or just showing you, take that extra time to ask God, what are you saying? Is that for this church? Is that for Green Bay? Is that for me? How does that relate to others? And that will avoid that extra wordiness. Pray passionately. That's kind of the heart thing. You know, it's kind of can be difficult to describe at times, but I can say, God, draw near to us. Or I can say the same words, God, draw near to us. It's not so much the inflection, but it's the heart. And that comes through in your, in, you know, and how you're wording it being so casually. So you want to just, in a, all of this, like I said, is just making sure that heart is right. Pray positively. So as a benchmark for visible church prayer, I don't want to have it like, man, the devil's really whipping up on that person, you know, cancer's got them, and just was about a number of time, you know, before he do it, he has the choices he was made. I mean, yuck. That is not edifying. That is not affirming, because God is greater than all that, right? God is greater than all that. Even in that, even if that situation is happening, we can declare that he's greater. His name is above every name. So no matter what's going on, he's above marital situation. He's above prodigal kids and situations. He is greater than that. So by that, that's what we're just affirming. Go into the word. If we don't know what God is saying about marriages, there are so many Bible apps that, I mean, I have no idea where a lot of stuff is. Sometimes I know the addresses, but a lot of, I don't. So then we're going to say, this is the truth, because didn't we learn a while ago that the Bible is the only reality, the true reality, not what we think or the circumstances, but that's the reality. So let's pray that. We can never go wrong with praying the word, because the word never returns void, right? Pray specifically. So have, you know, sometimes we'll start prayer meetings where we're going to first worship, but these are the prayer targets that we're going to really focus on. I feel the Lord, you know, wanting to focus on this. Have a target. Have laser focus, you know, not just like a bullseye, just shooting here and maybe here and maybe there. Have it right to the bullseye where God wants us to do. He's raising up an army. You know, we want to be right where God wants us, right where God is speaking to us. And oftentimes I won't, you know, no, I may have a sense of where the meeting is going, but then I'll ask, what do you want me to pray? What's on your heart tonight, God? I want to know so we can do that. Pray briefly so others have time to pray. So that's just kind of just being gracious and not, you know, dominating again. Speak loud enough for others to hear you so they can agree with you. So also this brings up etiquette within prayer groups. So if I pray for healing for Petrea, Pastor Ben doesn't say the same exact thing in just a little different way. Because we did it in Jesus' name, right? So we don't need to like pray the same thing, Lord God, heal Petrea. You already did it at the cross. And then Pastor Ben says, all authorities from you, God. Thank you for your healing. It's already been done in Jesus' name. And sometimes it's it becomes redundant. And just that little, just prayer etiquette, you know, I guess, respecting each other in prayer and doing that. So, and if this is all, if you're new to prayer, you can turn Psalms into a prayer. I mean, most of the Psalms are beautiful prayers of, some of them are lamenting. My enemies are all around me. So let's go to Psalm 99. Psalm 99, in my Bible, it says, the king is holy. So when you first come in and you just want to kind of get your mind around God and who he is and his attributes and affirm that, instead of always coming in with, oh God, I need this to be fixed. My life is a mess. I got great chaos. And I just think to be 99% of the time, wrap your mind around who God is and this much about our needs, because he knows already what our needs are and he's going to do it. You know, so we can turn this and saying, Lord, I know you reign. Let the people tremble. He's enthroned above the cherubim. Let the earth quake. Yahweh is great in Zion. So you can just turn that. You are great in Zion. You are great in the church. You're exalted above the people of visible church. You see how you're turning that into prayer? Let us praise you, God, for your great and awe-inspiring name. You are holy. The mighty king loves justice, and you've established fairness. You've administered justice. 5, we exalt you, Lord. You are our God. We bow in worship at your footstool. You are holy. There's so many great ones. Let's flip over to Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. Praise for the Lord's works. Hallelujah. I will praise you with all my heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Your works are great, Lord, and studied by all who delight in them. All that he does, all that you do is splendid. Even in this situation, you can relate it to marriages. Lord, even in this situation, everything you're doing is splendid and majestic. Your righteousness endures forever. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. Lord, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your compassion. So you guys get the idea how you can turn that, those little things, even just one verse, into everything that you're going to, you know, your situation may be. Be mindful of these things. The first one, love others, be gracious, and be sensitive to their heart. Sometimes during prayer groups, you know, you might have some new people that come to, you know, your prayer group, and it's a big thing for them to first just be there, and then second, to share anything. You know, sometimes people get intimidated, you know, by intercessors and the throne of God coming down, and they'll, if you're afraid to open your mouth because they might read your mail, but be sensitive. It might take a lot, you know, they might be going through something. And when they share that, they're inviting you into their private space, you know, their heartache, their hurt. And that's a safe place. So anytime we're in prayer, that's a confidential place. That's a safe place. And that doesn't go from the wherever you're praying and outside of these walls. And that's just part of loving others, right? Empathize a little bit, you know, maybe come alongside them, encourage them. You know, maybe God's telling you to saying, you know, God loves you or whatever. And you may think they know it, but sometimes they may feel abandoned by God by circumstances, and that's exactly what they need to hear. So, but most of the time, you know, in the prayer circles, just be gracious. This is during the prayer time now. So don't talk, don't preach, don't instruct others, don't prophesy, don't share revelation, don't interrupt prayer requests, especially don't do that. When one person is praying and you feel God's really wanting, right now you feel like right now if I don't give my 2 cents, I'm gonna forget it. You just, God wants you to know it and be aware of it, he'll bring it back to your mind. And so this is during the prayer meeting, in the context of the prayer meeting, that we're just to pray. We're not to counsel each other, same thing at the altar. I tell the teams, it's not a time for counseling. You just want somebody to pray with, right? And sometimes it's real easy to, you know, come alongside and teach somebody, but this is just a time to pray. And outside of that, absolutely. If you feel like God is, you know, wanting to talk, you to talk to them, absolutely do that. But during our prayer times, that's not the appropriate time. Be open to the Lord to experience something new in prayer. There's always something new that, you know, you can experience from, you know, God speaking through you or having new prayers, new devotions that you're moving in. I just say, man, whatever God wants to do, you know, through that, if it's spiritual gifts, if it's just singing a song and just worshiping in a different way, if it's dancing, if it, whatever it is, if God wants you to do it, you know, don't neglect that. So anyways, I think I know this, I went probably through this pretty quick here, but, in order to keep the unity, it's like I said, that main point of having a pure heart. And that keeps the unity and in prayer, and that keeps the persistence and that single-minded and single focus for everybody, and that we're just, you know, empty of ourselves and pure before God and full of God. So I would like to all of us to just come up here if you're willing, and we can just pray for a little bit if Pastor Ben wants to go through some scriptures, but if you wanted, as long as we're all here. And pray for a little bit.
Mind if I,
no, go for
share
it.
A couple more things too. Let me tie in what you were saying last week to what you're saying and mm-hmm. give some context to the little instructions. Turn with me to Acts. Let's go to Acts. Because a lot of times, here, let me do this. A lot of times what Trish said about our heart conditions, there's two stories that I think can kind of give some meat to what it is she's saying too, because she's right on. Our heart condition matters, but here's why it matters. There's a reason why we come together to pray for things, right? That's the reason why your heart condition matters, because it's different than just us praying by ourselves. It really is different than us just praying for something by ourselves. So if we were to look here in, let's go to chapter 12 in Acts. So you referenced it last week, so that's why I wanted to pull it up again this week when she was talking about the reasons for corporate prayer. Heart condition matters because of why we come together for prayer. So here in chapter 12, Peter was arrested because of him spreading the gospel and preaching and evangelizing, right? So something bad happened. There was a crisis. That was one of the reasons for coming together for corporate prayer that she mentioned last week. And we went through so much of those scriptures. But look at this. Here in verse 12 of chapter 12, he goes to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. So now let's think about this for just a second. They were called together to pray for one specific purpose, right? To pray for the deliverance of their man of God who was actually in prison. And everyone that came together had to be in agreement for why they were there, right? They had to be in agreement for why they're there, or nothing would have happened. And so the act has to also have a visual like tug of war. So or some big mighty thing like pushing a car. I mean, Troy, he has a horrible clunker of a car. So every time it dies, I mean, people, he's like getting strangers to come and help push it up a street or down a street or get it started, pop a clutch, all that. That's not true. But it's so silly to think of him trying to do that by himself. This is why corporate prayer is even on the docket to talk about tonight, or it's just all fluff. You know, when I first talked about why I like this topic, I said there are things that are not going to happen until we as a church come together in corporate prayer to pray for it. This is not a fluff piece. I want us to be very focused on why we come together for prayer. It's not just to scratch each other's backs. There should be a reason. Now, the reason can vary. There's Peter was in crisis. Now, fast forward or rewind it way back in the time of the conquest. Joshua, they're ready to go take Ai. Everything falls apart. Now the whole group of people have to pray and seek God. Why? Because they couldn't defeat this little place. They just defeated Jericho, but they couldn't defeat this little place. So they had a problem as a church, and they didn't know why. We're not succeeding. Let's pray, fast, all this kind of stuff. And then it led to one person in their midst, Achan. Achan had sin, and he wasn't living honestly. And so they had to deal with one person's heart condition in order to have victory corporately. How we live matters as a group if we're coming together to be a group to do something. It's just like playing tug of war or pushing that car. If all of us in this room get together to push that car to get it started, and one person says, I'm going to go sit on the front, drags their feet. The reason we're talking about this tonight is because that's what a lot of corporate prayer meetings end up being, and we don't even know it. We come together to pray, but no one's prepped. No one even knows why you're really there. It's just a Christian thing to do, so you just show up. And then when you leave, I guess the only badge is you went to a prayer meeting. You're more spiritual than the rest. That's no benefit. There should be a benefit. There should be some knocking on the door because Peter just got out. And all of that, there should be real breakthrough. There should be souls being saved. But it really depends on why we were called together, right? And then if you know why you're called together, it almost puts the impetus on you to make sure you're ready to play on the team. There has been many times where I've been called into a prayer meeting and I know I'm not ready to pray about anything yet because my mind is all carnal. I'm thinking about something that's all carnal and flesh and I can't think spiritual. I probably can't even remember a scripture reference. Why? My brain is just not in a godly place. And it doesn't mean that I'm in an evil place. It just means a non-God place. And so if they expect me to push the car with everybody else, I ain't pushing the car. I'm dead weight. And now someone's got to push me, you know? And that's not good. So what you talked about tonight are the things that really protect us. In 1 Corinthians, Paul said in that chapter, I think it's 11, maybe 12, where he talked about decent and in order. There's an order to things. He said right there at the beginning of that chapter, he said, I am really happy that you guys kept the traditions that I've given you. Those traditions were protocols that he put in place so that they could be effective as a church in the ministry of the gifts and all that kind of stuff. So tonight's message, you know, we are a new church when it comes to corporate prayer. What we've done so far in corporate prayers on Wednesday or on Monday nights and in times where we pray together as a group, you know, often we just come with our preconceived notions of what that's supposed to be like because Jan's been in a million prayer meetings, you know, Gary, man, he's a prayer meeting fanatic, you know, and Trish, she's a prayer meeting fanatic. And if that's not enough, we've got YouTube all day long. You can watch all kinds of prayer meetings all over the place. You know, it's important for us in this house of worship to say, here's the traditions that we need to hold on to. So let me just tell you the things that stood out to me. When it's time for us to pray, let's know why we're praying. Like tonight, you say, well, let's pray. Is there something on our hearts that we need to pray for? I don't know. Or then we might get together. And if you're like me, I'm a little sarcastic and stuff and a little. So you say, well, let's pray together. If I don't know why we're praying, there's a part of me that goes, fine, whatever. I mean, I'll just wait for something. Jesus, 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 Jesus. I don't feel nothing. You know why? Well, I don't even know why we're here. I don't know why we're praying. Why would I? You know what I mean? But if I have something to believe in to fight for in prayer, you don't have to convince me to be enthusiastic. You don't even have to convince me to be inspired. Man, I'll be looking for scriptures and all kinds of stuff. I'll be writing stuff down. And I might even be shouting and dancing. Who knows? But it really starts because I know why I'm praying. And so then in that context, doesn't the stuff she talks about make even more sense? So it's not about you and me, is it? When we come together for corporate prayer, it doesn't matter what your personal finances are. It doesn't matter if you're in a happy relationship or an unhappy relationship. It doesn't matter if your stomach is irritated and you got diarrhea or not. What matters is why you're there. You're there to pray and press in. And you know, the goofy thing is I've been in many prayer meetings where I've had headaches and I don't feel good, but I know I have to be there because something's coming up and we have to pray. And then when I'm in that prayer meeting, it's the focus shifts. And at the end of the prayer meeting, I'm usually personally blessed, but I know that I kept the main thing the main thing. So it's a total different type of prayer meeting than just a personal prayer meeting, isn't it? And it's different than just John's got a prayer request and he and I pray together. It's different than that even. Because in that context, I want to know, is your belly upset? Do we need to pray for the belly? Do we need to pray for the headache? Or is the wife horrible? You know, I mean, what do we need to pray about? In a corporate setting? No, it's about thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. And so, man, that's some good stuff. So are you aware of those big picture agendas? What is it that we should pray for as a church? What do we need to pray for as a church? What are the needs? What are the reasons to come together for corporate prayer? She mentioned this in the notes, and it's in your notes. Sometimes it's just simply a command, isn't it? God said, wait, go pray. And so then what do? We wait and we go pray. And there are many times we come together, not because we just like meeting. We come together because we need to do like what you said earlier. We got to see what God wants done. And so we come and we wait, like on Pentecost. And that's important. But there's other times where really God uses somebody and then a reason for praying is spoken forth. And then we need to take that seriously and we've got to seek God and we've got to pray until. There's a fun thing. If you're doing a corporate prayer meeting right, there is an until. You know when. There's a point where it's like, it's done. The car got moving again. We did whatever we were supposed to do. And that's a joy, you know? So, has the Lord put something specific on your heart that you feel we need to pray for tonight?
I just feel after Pastor Joel, you know, left that, you know, even just continuing, you know, seeking him with all of our hearts, we felt, you know, God's presence just moved to continue in that, to continuing having a hunger for him. And just as we were talking about people praying, people connecting with God at home and you know, just living that holy life.
Those are good things. He's smiling and laughing. Look at him. He's like, you got to get it. These are good things. You know, and this is a challenge for us. This is a challenge for us.
What would you pray for?
I'm filtering it right now through my mind. I'm saying, Lord, what would be the purpose of a corporate prayer meeting tonight? Quite frankly, I don't have any call in the spirit to pray in the sense of call the people together to pray for this. Fast and seek me for this. I don't have a pressing something in that. My heart's not grieved over something. You know, there is one thing that I can say with pretty good confidence what I think we could pray for tonight, and that's unity. About 3 weeks ago in a corporate prayer time, it was very apparent. We started praying, and I said, you know what we need to pray for right now? We need to pray for unity. We need to pray for unity in the church, not just visible church, but unity in the church as a whole. And I was like, man, we got some weird agendas and people all over the place. Make us one, Lord. You prayed it in Matthew 17, I think it is. Now, we want to agree with that in prayer, and we want to stand on that. And so tonight, maybe a good way for us to just kind of practice it, like what you asked, is would you be willing to just agree with me, push the car in that sense? Put your hands on that car, put your shoulder into it, and pray for unity. And it's got to be more than just words. It's got to be something better than what Achan tried to do. Like go through the motions, but not clean out his own tent. You know, that kind of thing. Clean out your own tent. In any attitude that might say you're not one with someone in the church, just quickly just say, Lord, I lay that down and I'm not going to pick it back up. And just purpose in your heart to be one with the other brothers and sisters in the church. But then pray. Agree with me that we're going to see unity in the church, unity in the ministries, unity in the worship teams, unity in all the different things that we do, unity as a body so that when we go and do outreach, it's not just a few people doing it, but it's a lot of people backing it up, you know, praying for it, thinking about it, all that kind of stuff. Unity in the spirit, in the mind, so that we don't just think counterproductive ideas. Well, I like this and I like this and they don't quite get together. Well, no, I want us all to like this, the Bible in the same kind of way. Put it as important and be one in the spirit in that. So if that is something that you can say, yeah, I agree, that's a good thing for us to agree in corporate prayer, then let's stand and let's just pray. And to kind of act out some of the stuff that she said, as leader of the church, asking Trish to pray on corporate prayer and talk about it, she's just been very obedient to just do that stuff. It's in her wheelhouse. She loves it. And we're getting better and better as a church. So as I just said, let's pray about that. Be in submission to that idea. And I'll pray. And then let's take some turns. You no doubt have something in your mind and your heart that you could say out loud in a prayer, and it edify that idea of all of us pushing towards that end goal. And as we pray, what is it that you think would be the sign of unity? What would be the sign for saying, yeah, we pray until? I'll tell you, one of them is the blessing and the outpouring of the Lord in our midst. When we're one, He's promised to bless and pour out. So what does that mean? He's going to pour out joy. He's going to pour out everything that's a part of the fruit of the Spirit. So I want to see that. When we're one in our meetings and in our times together, you're going to be happier. Why? Because that's the joy of the Lord. You're going to have more peace. Why? It's fruit of the Spirit. All those good things, I want more of that. So let's do it. Breakthrough maybe in other areas in your life. All that's good stuff. So Heavenly Father, we come to you as a every individual member here at Visible Church, we come together in just one mind to put before you that prayer that you first prayed, that we come in agreement with. Lord, make us one. In the same way that the Apostle Paul asked the church to be one. Lord, today I ask you, make each and every one of us in this room like-minded in our spirit and our focus and our devotion towards you and towards the mission that you've put before us. For God, we have a great calling, and I acknowledge it right now, that we're to lift you up in this city, and our faith is to be illustrated, and we as a congregation must come together and be unified. So we ask for your help in that, Lord.
Oh, bless his name.